My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and, like, you're the people on the panel, so I'm, like, taking pot shots at Brian Brom. Because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm thinking I should have had a pickle before coming to work.
What? What's this now?
I could go for a pickle right now. And
what an odd,
I have pickles at home.
What an odd thing to just think of and furthermore just say on the radio.
I mean, that's the second part of it is to what you're supposed to do.
A pickle?
Do you get a plate when you eat a pickle? If you ever do.
No,
maybe you never do.
I love pickles. What is little pickles? Okay. Not unless it's accompanying a sandwich.
But you know, you take a bite out of a good pickle, there's going to be juice
that
drips on the floor.
I'll eat
over the sink.
Eat over the sink.
Really? Who eats over a sink?
We've got like a big butcher block thing that's on wheels in the center of our kitchen.
I don't want to have to go to the sink.
Eat over that and just then sponge up if there is residue.
Armando.
Not a big deal. I don't need a plate.
Armando Salguero, Outkick, old friend of ours, been on the show many times. How's life, Armando?
That's my introduction, Michael. Really? That's what you guys came up with?
Don't you want to weigh in?
I feel like a pickle is not an entree. Let's just... Can we say that? Can we agree to that?
No argument here. Yeah. No.
A napkin, then.
That is an item, Armando. That's an item you can just reach into the fridge, open the jar, and eat it as you're like. You're not walking into the living room with a pickle.
Well,
you're not able to because you're going to
eat it over the sink.
Well, if I am, then maybe if I want to, maybe I'm going to have more than one pickle, then maybe I'll get a plate.
Armando,
you really need to invest in cheese slices or ham slices, and I think you'd be better off protein.
There you go.
Oh, just wrap it even.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good idea. He's on the job here.
Armando, so seriously, though, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
All is well.
New season. Here we go. Bills and Dolphins in week two tomorrow night in Miami or near Miami. Both teams kind of similar in week one, getting through it down in their games to Arizona, Jacksonville, respectively. Who was maybe more impressive if you think about the week one games or just kind of what we learned about either or both teams in the opener?
Well, I would say to you that one of the things that a lot of people that watch the NFL don't appreciate about good NFL teams is that they win or can win when it's not great, when it's not optimal, when it's ugly even, and they beat opponents that should be beaten. There are so many examples of teams that are either favored or expected to be good, and they go out and they lay an egg against an inferior opponent, They don't do, look at the Bengals. They lost to the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the Bengals, who are expected to be this, like, you know, Super Bowl contender, do what the Bills and the Dolphins did, the narrative in Cincinnati is different, and talk shows in Cincinnati today were different.
Right. And they had chances to do that. It's not like New England ran away or anything like that, but just couldn't get enough done late in the game or all game, I guess. A lot of drama with the Bengals, too. T. Higgins and Chase, so missed opportunity there. I thought here, Armando, I mean, the Bills, one thing that was a theme around the NFL in week one is how sharply passing volume and production declined based on recent years. The lowest average passing yard total in a week one in more than 24 years, I believe I read. And here we are in this game. The Bills are down late in the first half. They'd thrown two passes by like less than 3 minutes to go in the half. They did turn that around. Is that something you think? Tua did not have this issue. I mean, he led the week in passing yards. But is it interesting to you how week one, you know, statistically and around the league seemed different in this way?
Yeah, I think that's a little skewed now, too, because you have guys like, well, rookies, really, like Jaden Daniels, who is going to run more often than he, you know, than the normal, experienced, smarter, veteran quarterback that doesn't want to get hit. So he rushed for 80 yards. He was running all over the place, and now the coaching staff is telling him, please, don't be doing that. Bo Nix is doing that. Caleb Williams is doing that to a degree. So you've got guys that, you know, use the running game, and you have teams that use the running game out of unorthodox positions, like the quarterback position, as a something of a crutch and something of a weapon in place of just outstanding passing. And I know that in Buffalo that doesn't apply because Josh Allen is an amazing quarterback, and I get it. And yet, what did he do? Oh, he scored two rushing touchdowns.
Right, and they became a pretty run-oriented team down the stretch last year under Joe Brady, and that certainly they had the most, I think, neutral situation rush attempts in week one, and we'll see. Like, could be matchup-specific how that gets handled moving forward here, Armando. I'm curious from you what kind of sense, if at all, you have of how this game is being viewed by the Dolphins, by Miami. We know Josh Allen and the Bills, it's 11 out of the last 12, and even you can go back farther than that too, but the Bills have kind of owned this matchup. And last year, three-game lead, five to go, the Bills caught him, beat him on the final day of the season, and win the division for a fourth year in a row. For Miami, I'm asking you for you to fill us in on it, but the Bills seem like a pretty big object in the road if you're Miami. Recognizing that it's week two, is this a bigger than a normal week two game, you think, for Miami?
That's a super great question and a super interesting topic, because typically if this was a normal week, all of that would be true, all of it. But it's not a normal week for the Dolphins in that, number one, it's a Thursday night game, so less time to, you know, sort of get into that mode. And also what happened before the game on Sunday with Tyreek Hill, where he was pulled over and, you know, dragged out of his car, wrestled to the ground, handcuffed, the whole nine in that regard, and teammates roll up and try to help him. They get handcuffed. So the narrative since Sunday afternoon when the Dolphins beat the Jaguars, and even during Sunday afternoon when the Dolphins beat the Jaguars and Tyreek Hill scored an 80-yard touchdown and then did the free Tyreek Hill celebration with his hands, you know, fake handcuffed behind his back, has been that episode. More so than the Bills own us, more so than the Bills have dominated the division for 4 years, more so than we better beat the Bills because, you know, if we want to go where we want to go, the Bills are in the way. The Tyreek thing has been the thing that has dominated practically everything outside of preparation for the Dolphins.
And if you would care to elaborate, I believe you wrote that you were impressed with how Hill has since described the situation and anything else he's had to say since Sunday.
Well, start with the fact that during that traffic stop, everybody was a mess. It was just a disaster from the jump. The cops pull over Tyreek Hill right outside Hard Rock Stadium. He rolls down the window, gives them his driver's license, rolls up the window.
Right.
The police officer taps on the window and says, roll down your window. And Tyreek does not. Roll down your window. Tyreek does not. He's now on the phone with somebody. Roll down your window. Tyreek does not. At this point, Tyreek is no longer asked to roll down his window. By the way, in Florida, you are obliged to basically do what a police officer asks you to do. And then if there's an issue, civil rights issue, you figure that out later in court. But nonetheless, so they pull Tyreek Hill out of the car, drag him to the ground, and, you know, handcuff him, their knees in his back. They put him on the side of the curb. He's standing up. They tell him, sit down. He doesn't. They chokehold him down. Teammates going to the game see this. They roll up. They come out. And the cops tell them, you better leave or we're going to do the same kind of to you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode was, one, Tyreek, my brother, roll down your window. Okay? This could help matters if you do that. If you comply, it can help. And then secondly, the police body cam footage is out, and the officer who did most of the work, let's call it, he is now on an administrative duties off the streets, and I assume that once the internal investigation is over, that he is either going to be suspended or fired. And so that was the whole episode. And mm-hmm. Today, Tyreek is like, well, you know, on second view of it, I should have done things differently.
Good job not going with upon further review there, Armando. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. I thought about it and then decided against it. But thank you. Thank you for that. So he said, I could have done things differently. Mm-hmm. I love police. I don't believe in defund the police. I'm not going to kneel. Apparently someone came to him and said, let's do a rally / anti-police demonstration in the community. And he said, no. So those things, you know, that is the weight that you have to balance out in this whole episode.
How much, if at all, I guess we'll decide after the game. That's how we usually do it. Were they distracted by it? Was it bothering them? Was their entire focus on getting ready for a game? In your opinion at this point, is it damaging to their preparation?
Wow. So I'm not sure that you can say it was damaging to them on last Sunday, although they started very slow and really were behind. They trailed until 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So if you want to chalk that up to the pregame, you know, craziness, then be my guest. How it affects this week, look, let's face it. Both of these teams all week have not practiced. They've walked through. They've kind of, met a lot. It's not nobody's been in pads or anything like that. So how has it affected their preparation? I think that's a question that only can be answered within the locker room. And I'm not there.
We've talked with you many times about Tua. And, you know, in my opinion, rightly, you've expressed skepticism. You know, he's just got a other quarterbacks are on a higher level. Last year led the league in passing yards, but kind of the late season flame out. And this year the talking point stuff was that he'd lost weight. And I wonder if you think, you know, something's different with that, you know, wanting to see the Dolphins, you know, fans want to see him be able to execute more off script, as they say. Does this change, if it's significant enough, in your opinion, afford him, you know, better odds as far as that goes?
I don't think it's going to be a big deal one way or the other, because he is lighter. He is more willing to scramble now. And we saw it on Sunday. He's just more willing to move around. But if you're expecting anything like what the Buffalo Bills see at quarterback, you'll be sadly disappointed, because it's not that. Okay, that's not what Tua Tagovailoa does. His game is quick read and precise pass, and try to be as accurate as possible, because that's maybe your only superpower. And so that's how they play the game. What was interesting to me, really, was the fact that the Jaguars, they obviously did their homework. And so for a lot of that game, they took away the first read. Mm-hmm. And they forced Tua to, now you got to read the whole field, my brother. And oftentimes that frustrated him. And oftentimes it caused him to, you know, bonk. And guess what? He still threw for 338 yards. Because why? Because Tyreek Hill averaged 18 and a half yards a catch, including an 80-yarder. And Jaylen Waddle, who doesn't get enough credit, had 109 yards, averaging 21.8 yards a catch, including a 63-yarder. So sometimes the first read cannot be taken away, and it's over your head. But when you can take it away consistently, it frustrates them.
Waddle, by the way, this is going to be a little bit of a cheap shot. I really like Jaylen Waddle, but he apparently, Armando, did Sunday again fulfill his contractual obligation to go to the blue tent and then go back in the game. Right?
Yes, he did. That was a moment, and he would say to you, "I was forced to do that."
Okay.
And he was the
head injury, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the independent observer forced him to do that.
I got the note. I didn't know it was a head injury. I got the notification. Waddle is out. You know, as a fantasy player, you just sort of like, well, that was the story of his year. Several games last year, he was on and off the field. So, I mean, the great player, and they have one of the best setups in the NFL with the two receivers here. Just to get your thought on the Bills, Armando, of course, pretty major turnover at the wide receiver position. The Bills on Sunday did what they kind of were saying they would do, and what I think most expected, which is to spread the ball around, but no real, you know, alpha, so to speak, on this team, at least that's sort of emerged yet. Will it work?
No.
It will not work.
No. I'm sorry. It just, look, in the NBA a couple of years ago, maybe more, they decided that it's good to have not one star, not two stars, but maybe three stars on your club. So if you want to win an NBA title. In the NFL, I think teams are long past the idea of we can't just get by with one really awesome receiver. We probably need two, and it would be great if we have three. And the Bills last year had one really outstanding slash great receiver the last few years. This year, they're going to go with solid, good, okay, unproven. And that's fine against the Arizona Cardinals, maybe. And that's fine against the lesser teams. That's not going to be fine in January. That's not going to be fine in late December. And that doesn't get you to February.
Well, we'll see how it all comes together as the season unfolds. Maybe one of these dudes will emerge as that person. Somebody's going to lead them in receptions. Whether they become a number one guy remains to be seen. That said, Armando, how much of a read do you have at this point on Miami's defense? They're going to be defending this grab bag of guys here that you just described the way you did. What new coordinator? Like, what kind of feel do you have, if any, for Miami's defense at this point?
The good news for the Bills is the Miami defense is like, ugh. I mean, they lost Christian Wilkins, right? Jalen Ramsey is relatively healthy, and he is a stud. There is no question about that. But Jalen Phillips is coming along. You know that Jalen Phillips came out.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the University of Miami at the same time as Greg Rousseau, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys were just monsters when they came out. And, you know, Jalen Phillips last year was out most of the year with an Achilles. He had a sack his first game back. And so they're hoping that he is that guy. But, you know, other than him, they don't have, you know, Bradley Chubb anymore because he's on the PUP, and so they need someone to step up, to step forward with big plays. And, you know, last week that was Phillips with a sack, that was Ramsey on a big fourth down. But other than that, they are not exact. I would say to you, they're not as good as last year or won't be.
Greg Rousseau was on this show a couple of weeks ago, naturally AFC Defensive Player of the Week, week one. Therefore, Jalen Phillips is not welcome on this show. We do not want to extend that correlation, you know, beyond what's occurred already. Armando, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy week two.
I appreciate it. I'm going to go now scour my refrigerator to see if there are pickles in there. And if there are, I'm throwing them out.
What a protest.
Wow, bam. Bye, Armando. Wow. Come on, though. Like, you take the pickle out of the jar, you know, it's all wet. You take a bite, and there's, you know, liquid that squirts to the floor. So, I mean, you're going to go to the sink. What is he talking about? Wrapping it in ham or just putting it on? Well, just, you got to do something.
Jar out of the fridge, close the fridge. Kitchen counter, sink. Something of that, and I'm fine. I'm not.
You're going to stand at the sink.
I'm not going to make. How long does it take to eat a pickle?
A minute, right? Not even a minute.
We're talking about a full dill. It's three bites tops, like a big.
I'm talking
dill.
A refrigerated spear.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Three bites tops. Yeah.
Just stand there at the sink.
Yeah.
Seems weird. 803-0550 is the number. Bills, Dolphins.
Why do I have a feeling Travis Yost eats a pickle with a fork and a knife?
You know, that's another move. You need the plate.
We haven't talked. We'll be reconnecting soon when hockey fires up. He eats popcorn with a fork.
Okay. Well, this look. Don't.
I swear to you, I've seen footage. He's shared pictures on social media.
Don't dump that on me. How Travis Yost eats popcorn has nothing to do with whether I would stand at a sink to eat a pickle. Let's just get that straightened out right now before it starts to catch fire on X. Speaking of Travis, no, we don't have Travis on today. We will have Paul Hamilton on later. The Sabres Prospect Challenge starts in 2 days. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, how do you feel about this game tomorrow night and how the Bills season has begun? Lines open here on WGR.
It's about points, not yards, and then taking care of the football. I mean, you look at the games that we've played. The first game last season, we were able to take the ball away and score touchdowns rather than field goals. And in the second game, the last game of the regular season last year, we had yards, but not as many points, you know, through touchdowns and whatnot. So it's points over yards and making sure we take care of the ball.
Sean McDermott this morning with Sal Capaccio before the Bills take off or took off for Miami. I'm guessing they've left by now. 8:15 tomorrow night. We'll be on the air all afternoon, including pregame coverage. Joe Ostrowski is in the plans at what will be his usual time this year on Thursdays for Eastern. Then eventually the roundtable, Chris Brown, Eric Wood, and then we'll leave and watch the game somewhere.
And then come back on Friday and talk about how awesome it was, hopefully.
Yep. That's the plan.
Yep.
Ron is with us. Ah, hello, Ron.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Ron.
The last guy you just had on for the from Miami, he's on a lot. I know. He's pretty good. I did not agree with what he's talking about is you have to have star receivers. And I'm not thinking, because Kansas City did do it the last few years. That's not what we want to see. But you could do it with one really good receiver. And Miami hasn't done anything with what they had. And they have a pretty good quarterback, too. But I still think when you have the quarterback like an Allen or as the Holmes has proven, they're going to put the ball where it has to be. You know, so I think we'll be fine this year. I'm a little concerned that I don't remember Kincaid on the field. I know he made a catch or two, but he was just not part of the offense. And that worries me a little bit. So I was going to say that. And real quick for Bulldog, I don't know if you remember me. You helped me with that Family Feud game back in March.
Sure,
April.
Yeah. How's Ezra doing?
Yep. He's doing good. He had his liver transplant, and he's still a few weeks from coming home, but he's up and around, and he's walking down in New York City. And
well, we're really glad to hear that, Ron. That's excellent.
And I want to thank you for being part of that, man.
You're very welcome. Anytime. All right, thanks. I got all hung up on that. What was the front end of that? I forgot.
The point about receivers is not, I don't know if this is exactly what Armando would say, but I'm thinking of Eric Eager and our many conversations with him before he was rude and decided to take a job with the Carolina Panthers and leave Sumer Sports after having left PFF. His research, and it always made a lot of sense, was how you do want to have the second receiver, because as you get into the playoffs, and I don't know if the Bills have any, but as you get into the playoffs, just better defenses, more familiarity with you, more tape. And I think we've kind of seen this in the Diggs years. It's not as hard for teams to take away your number one. And Eric wasn't, as I remember those conversations, just talking about the Bills. He liked Cincinnati for this. You know, maybe Philadelphia would be a team like this. San Francisco. Kansas City's different. I mean, they won anyway. But in general, I agree that, I mean, when would you ever not want to be strong at any position? But I do think, look, for all the time we've invested in wide receiver these last few years, I'm not bailing out now. Like, this season is a test to see whether or not, without an elite receiver, maybe one will emerge, but without that going in, the Bills can, you know, win in the playoffs, which is really all that matters this year. So I also have my doubts. I'm kind of with Armando in that way about this season, but these have been close games that they've lost, at least a couple of them, and you never know.
I know what I wanted to respond to. I thought you would bring up Eric Eager, so I sort of skipped over that part. The Kincaid point Ron made. Kincaid was on the field like crazy. He had the most snaps of any skill. Well, maybe not than James Cook.
No, he did.
Yeah, of any skill position player. Yeah, because Cook, yeah, they had backup running backs. He only got, you know, he didn't get targeted. There wasn't any production, but he was on the field a lot. Two targets, one catch. I think that's a sign. You know, he'll get his. I think anyway. If he's going to be on the field 73% or even more than that percent of the time, there's going to be targets there. So yeah, it was extremely modest. I don't know how hard they'll work to feature him, like have him be like the thing that the play is designed to open up. I think the idea of Everybody Eats is that they're going to take turns doing all that kind of thing. But I think Kincaid is still going to be the leading receiver on this team when it's all said and done. So, and his usage, I think, I'd be a lot more worried about where they're going there if he was lagging behind Knox in usage or something. But even though Knox saw a healthy amount of playing time, Kincaid blew him out of the water. So when they had one tight end on the field, I don't say it was exclusively Kincaid, but the numbers would tell you that that was probably the case.
I remain, this is kind of how I am with a lot of this stuff, I think, a little bit restless about Kincaid. And I'll say again, it's not because of any real questions I have about the player. I just have yet to see the Bills really figure out efficiently what to do with him, because I want snaps, but really I want routes more than I want snaps. I want, you know, what do I want? I mean, I guess that can correlate. Of course it can, but Knox is always, for me, I've been expecting him to be on the field. He played 50-some percent of the snaps against Arizona, and it makes sense, doesn't it? For how they played in that game and kind of the team they've built. You've got Hollins for this as well. And if I've got a tight end who's not exactly a downfield threat, he's a little bit more than just a blocker, but, you know, and I've got an outside receiver who's also there to be a strong blocker and reliable and make the occasional play, where am I getting the rest of my stuff? And that's Shakir, that's Coleman, and that's Kincaid in some order. And, you know, I'm just ready to see, like the caller is, you know, maybe a lot of people, I'm ready to see sort of a big game, right? Like this is year two. They didn't need it against Arizona. They didn't get it. I mean, he had 1 for 11 against Arizona. And apart from the games Knox missed last year, there's not a lot. The game in Miami would be his best game. If I don't know if Knox played in that game, but if he did, 7 for 84 for Kincaid in that game, that's sharp. I mean, you take that every week.
By the end of the year, Knox was back, so I would assume he was in that game.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Week 18 game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I just think it'll come. You know, that's it. I mean, I don't know it, but I think it will. Like, if when I'm thinking about whether or not, you know, Armando's making the point that they just got basically a bunch of guys, kind of like how we've been talking all year here, you know, off-season-wise. In my mind, I think if someone's going to emerge, it's going to be Kincaid. But, yeah, they're going to have to show it. I mean, they haven't demonstrated that they know exactly how to do that yet. I don't think that's unfair at
all.
That's
what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I just feel like someone's going to emerge and catch 80 passes for them. My money'd be on that dude.
His over-under this week, tomorrow, is 44.5. So if you think this is
that's
the week,
a lot of catches.
44.5 catches. Let me check yards. 380 yards and a half. Sorry, I forgot the fractions.
Hammer the under, people.
44.5 receiving yards. Tyreek, I think, is like 99.5. And it's minus money, the over.
The dude is good. That's what he is. Offensive player of the year. Thanks, Bulldog.
Yeah, scary. Yeah. I think he didn't win. Didn't he finish second? Didn't Lamb win? Or McCaffrey?
McCaffrey won. Oh, McCaffrey won. Right? You're right. Yeah, you're right.
How are you dealing with him on your fantasy teams, McCaffrey? What's a little bit of stress right now?
I don't have any McCaffrey.
Oh.
Do I? I mean, I don't know. I don't have the roster of the team we have together memorized, but I'm pretty sure we didn't pick him early. I know that. We picked last.
We picked last.
So we didn't have a look at him,
That's
I don't
right.
think.
So, we would have picked him at 12.
If he'd been there. Right, right. I would have run up with the card.
The podium.
She's so far and away, the number one guy on our board. Yeah, so I don't have any McCaffrey, so I'm not sweating it at all.
Two guys we did pick on that team, by the way, Bucky Irving, who had a very nice debut for Tampa. Tampa had a beautiful day offensively, yep. Mayfield and all of it. And then Jalen Wright, who was inactive, I think, for Miami in week one, but no Mostert. I guess I'd want to assume Wright is at least active in this game, but if Achan plays, it's Achan, then probably Jeff Wilson, and then Wright. But Wright's another one of these speed merchants.
But if Achan doesn't play, all right.
Yeah.
Jalen Wright season.
Yeah, maybe. So the team is thin as running back, as you will remember. Joe Mixon, offensive player of the week in the AFC. I don't see myself, if I may say so, I'm not your neighborhood Allen Honk, but Mixon, 159. His longest run in that game was 13 yards. That's the offensive player. What, he ran into the line for 5 yards 25 times? That's your offensive player of the week? Come on.
The only reason I care at all, like, I definitely don't mind. It's cool, especially when they play Miami and Allen gets offensive player of the week is awesome. I hope it happens again this week. When I saw that it was Mixon, I saw Rousseau got defensive player of the week. I had a little sad because I'm thinking about MVP, and I just feel like the more stuff he accrues here, like he was offensive player of the week 5 times,
right.
It's just I would like to have that hanging on the wall.
Well, it's obviously good for Mixon's chances,
sure,
to win the MVP.
Did it move his odds?
I don't know. I do know whose odds moved the most in week one, and I will tell you after a break. Think about it. Who had the kind of week one where their odds went way... Is it up or down? Got a lot better.
Right. That works.
For his chances of winning.
Yeah.
Not for somebody trying to make a killing off betting on it. That'd be the other way.
Right.
Somebody who had a good week one.
Right.
Is it clear now? 803-0550 is the number. Talking some MVP here after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Bills and Dolphins from South Florida tomorrow night, week two. Then you take the weekend off. Watch games, don't watch games, hike, get outside. Even on the water, it's supposed to be around 80 all week.
Go to the Borderland Festival.
Visit
me and my wife in the stables while she'll be selling her jewelry that she handcrafts. I'm very excited about this.
Will you have a TV?
iPad. Yeah.
To watch games?
Yeah. Okay.
You'll show it to the people walking by?
There's Wi-Fi. No. No, I'll just keep that to myself.
I might sooner stop at your stand if I can see the Ravens. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike. Mike, hello? tough one. Which player, do you have a guess? Who was the biggest mover in the MVP race?
I'm still not over that guy not being there. I need a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Who was the biggest mover in the MVP race?
Oh,
if you want odds, I will give you that.
We went to the break, and I opened up my standings page just to look at the teams. This is what I do. I mean, I know who the teams are, but it just helps me. And then I started goofing around on my phone and didn't even spend 2 seconds thinking about who this could be.
So be it. You have time now.
So who had the biggest move, positive odds, for MVP in
right.
the league
right.
after week one?
Correct. You're going to get it.
Could it be Tua?
No.
No? Jalen Hurts?
No. Those guys were both too high up.
Oh, all right.
Let's see.
Ooh. No.
Hurts is the fourth choice. Tua is the seventh or eighth choice. His odds did get shorter. So did Hurts. Now Hurts now 10-1, Tua now 16-1.
Brock Purdy,
Derek Carr.
Come on.
He and Saquon Barkley in fact, both moved from 250-1 to 100-1. Carr has no chance?
Carr has no chance.
What if they're the Falcons? The Falcons that I predicted.
Right.
13 wins. They're doing this crazy thing now this year, the Saints. First time in forever. Play action passes. Pre-snap motion. And Atlanta, that's they forgot all that.
The quarterback can't execute any of that. Look, physically, they are worried that he can't execute any of that, which I think is why they wouldn't do it.
So they score 10 points. New Orleans scores 47.
Yeah.
Carr also doesn't have, like, all these great players around him. Actually, yesterday we were talking about the year Matt Ryan won.
Mm-hmm.
And Carr was in the running that year. Is that 15 or 16? Carr was, like, he got votes, I think, that year. He was a consideration. That's a long time ago, but not my favorite player. But their offense was just so stale. And now they have Clint Kubiak running it. And it looks like just sort of fountain of youth a little bit. For him or for that Saints offense, they looked really good in week one.
I don't know. I feel like I'm being difficult here. If they have that season and he leads them to that, he throws for 4,500. Yeah, sure, he could win the MVP. I just don't think any of that is sustainable. I can't imagine a scenario where that team wins 13 games. They could win that division winning 9 or something, I think. But 13, I just do not see it.
At Dallas this week, great opportunity for them to prove something.
Like, uh-huh.
If they're good and win this week, that will say a lot. 803-0550. Let's thank Mike for the call, even though he was not audible.
Yeah, you go ahead and do. I don't want to thank him. I'm still upset. I'm dwelling on it.
Getting, quote, connected with the fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
Now I'm over it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.